Good morning, Symphony Church, and welcome to our last devotion in the book of Acts. We're finishing out the book of Acts with Acts chapter 28 today, and I will read that for us. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island, named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days, and from there we made a circuit and arrived at Regium. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers, and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they had heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. When they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are. For with regard to the sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God, and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement: "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen." He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God, and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Amen. So our journey through Acts ends with Paul's journey to Rome also coming to an end. And following along the events surrounding this final leg of Paul's journey, it almost reads like a tall tale or an urban legend. Paul gets shipwrecked and is welcomed by the locals. He gets bit by a venomous viper, but he suffers no harm. He's revered as a god. He heals the sick, including the father of the island's chief man. And he's even further honored because of this. And that's all before he even gets to Rome. Once he arrives in Rome, Paul is greeted by many who traveled far and wide to see him. And after only 3 days, he gathers all the Jewish leaders to where he was under house arrest in order to share with them the gospel. Once he was there, he continued his ministry, proclaiming the kingdom. We gather that it's actually during this house arrest that Paul wrote the letters to Philemon, to the Colossians, the Ephesians, the Philippians. He continues to work. And that's how the book of Acts ends, with Paul staying in Rome for 2 years after meeting with this audience of Jewish leaders. And as abrupt as it might seem, it's a fitting conclusion to Paul's story thus far. You see, from the moment he embarked to Rome to plead to Caesar, Paul demonstrated continual devotion to doing God's will and being faithful to his plan. As he journeyed to Rome, Paul was able to make countless defenses of the gospel, share the good news with multitudes of people, heal the sick, bear witness to the authority of Jesus Christ, all while heading towards imprisonment. It wasn't just the end destination that was important to Paul, seeing God's promise come to pass that he would be before Caesar one day. No, it was the journey as well that Paul understood to be invaluable to the kingdom. All the opportunities he'll have along the way to Rome to be faithful to Jesus. A while back, Pastor Barry mentioned the value of living a life of long obedience in the same direction, which is a thought from Eugene Peterson, who himself adapted the wisdom from Friedrich Nietzsche. And although Paul, in our passage today, seems like this larger-than-life, one-of-a-kind spiritual titan, you know, overcoming snakes and drawing crowds and making public defenses of the gospel, I think it comes from the long obedience in the same direction that he had faithfully built up over the years. It's that process that lets us see this Paul, this end result of Paul. We might feel like Paul's accomplishments here in this passage are so grand, so anointed, that it's impossible for us to relate. And although Paul, along with the other apostles, did have a very special calling, the obedience that he demonstrates, which leads to great fruit, is something that we can nurture too. You and I are empowered by the same Spirit that strengthened Paul for ministry. Our paths are authored by the same Father who watched over Paul during his journey. And we intimately know the same Jesus that walked with Paul every step of the way to Rome. My hope and prayer for us is that one day we'll be able to look back at our lives and celebrate the amazing things that God has accomplished through us. That we'll get to see bountiful fruit from a life lived with long obedience in the same direction. We can start that now. Continue to build on that obedience. And it all starts with deciding, today will be a day where I live for Jesus. Today will be a day where I say yes to him. Where, whether small or big, the opportunities presented before me to be a champion of the gospel, I won't take for granted. So let's start that long obedience in the same direction. Let's start to live for the gospel, just like Paul did. And let's pray that he strengthens us all the way. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us to do your will, to be obedient completely to you? Lord, we profess that your way is so much better than any way that we can possibly come up with. Lord, we're so small-minded compared to you, our omniscient, omnipotent creator. Lord, we profess that your plan is so grand, is so magnificent, and it's such a great honor for us to be able to join in on what you're doing. And so, Lord, would you strengthen us to be able to do that? I pray for all my brothers and sisters today that we can take hold of your plan and your will for us. Help us to say yes to the things you want us to say yes to. Help us to say no to the things that you want us to say no to. And I pray that this is just part of a process that will lead to great, amazing things down the line, even today. So we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.